Thank you, children. It's a blessing. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of your mission, monk. If we turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and in verse number 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we can open your word this morning, and we pray that you'd give us open hearts to receive your word, and I pray that your spirit will take your word, Father, and that would apply it to each of our hearts personally, that we may be changed more into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's in his wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Here we see a time in Jesus' ministry where he called his disciples. He asked just a simple thing, a simple request he made to these men, and he said, follow me. And you just think about this invitation that Jesus made in his earthly ministry. What a wonderful privilege it is for the invitation to be made to us by a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to us, even today, follow me. And what's a precious thing is here we see that four men were called. We see Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These were four disciples, and you can trace the life of these disciples, and they were with Christ. And you know, there was times in these disciples' lives where, you know, that they weren't really walking with God, so to speak. There were challenges in their lives when they saw the crucified Christ, and they saw him on that cross, they left. And we see Peter going back fishing. And we see these ups and downs in this life of these disciples, but they made a decision at this point of their life and their time to follow Jesus Christ. And you know what it was? That they immediately followed Christ. You know, the children were singing, Lord, you are the, Jesus, you are the treasure of my heart. And I wonder if that could, that we could say that genuinely with all our hearts. And if we say, yes, we can say that, if Christ says to you, follow him, would you immediately forsake all as these disciples did and followed him? What is holding you back from following the Lord Jesus Christ? Today we see many things in this world holding us back. Many things that hold us back from following Christ. And what is it in your life that is holding you back? In Luke chapter 5 verse 11, in the same account, it says they forsook all and followed him. It was a moment of time where they just decided, and what happened, it resulted in action. It resulted in action, they forsook all and followed him. Let's go with me, please, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. In verse number 27, Luke chapter 5, verse number 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, which was Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Another invitation. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. This man, he was a tax collector. No doubt he was very wealthy. But when he heard the invitation of Jesus Christ, what did he do? He rose up and he left all and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that is holding you back from following the Lord Jesus Christ? And what I want to look at is an account of somebody in the scripture, a young man who rejected the invitation of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there are many people, many Christians, that are the same as this young man. They have rejected the invitation of following Christ. You may ask, oh, who would do that? Think about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that coming up to you and saying, follow me, and you say, no, I'm busy, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, I have other dreams or ambitions in my life, I'm going after other things in my life. And we're going to see a young man who actually rejected this great invitation. There in Mark chapter 10, please, we're going to learn much about this man, but what I want to see is learn about the one who is inviting him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10, please. We'll start reading at verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And in verse 21, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come. Take up the cross, and follow me, the invitation. And in verse 22, And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, you see this young man who made the decision in Mark chapter 19, it refers to him as a young man. And he was a very wealthy young man. And he came to Jesus, and yes, do you know what? He did a good thing by running to Christ. And what he was doing, he kneeled down before him, and he asked him a good question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a great question. Good start. And Christ told him. And this man in his self-righteousness tells the eternal Son of God, All of this have I done from my youth. And Christ hits the nail in the head, so to speak, and he goes straight to the heart of the issue. And what he says is, Go, sell all the things that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. An invitation. Which this man, he went away sorrowing. Why? Because the Bible teaches he had great possessions. And what is it that is holding you back from following the Lord Jesus Christ? This man, it was his possessions, his love for money that was holding him back. And he says, if I needed to give up everything to follow Jesus, then I'm not going to do that. And we don't know about how far in his life this man, maybe he came to a point where he trusted in Christ. But what he did is that he was one that rejected the invitation. One who rejected the invitation. And the focus needs to be on the one that we are following, not on what we are forsaking. You know, as we need to focus on the invitation. And many people say, you know, I'm not following Jesus, and especially the young people today, they say, oh, I'm not following Jesus because I need to get rid of this job or this relationship, or I need to get rid of this, my dreams and ambitions. And what they are, they're focusing on what they are forsaking, not on who they're following. And I want to encourage you here this morning, if you're a Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you to follow Him, don't focus on what you are giving up or forsaking. Focus on who Jesus Christ is and who the one asking you to follow is. That's all it is. Accept the invitation and let Christ do the rest. Accept the invitation and let Christ do the rest. The focus needs to be on the one we are following, not on the one what we are forsaking. And the truth to be known is that we as God's people do not love Christ as we ought to love Christ. If we are second guessing ourselves and saying, oh God, I don't want to give up this up for you, who do we really love? Jesus, you are the treasure of my heart. It's my prayer that these children will grow up with that. But the thing is, the truth be known, is many old people, many of the older folk don't even sing that song. And can't say genuinely within their hearts, Jesus, you are the treasure of my heart. If that be the case, then forsake all and follow Him. Forsake all and follow Him. Let's look at the one who is making the invitation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is making the invitation. And I love verse 21. And Mark records it. Matthew doesn't record this point, but what he says is this. In verse number 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. You know, the simple principle of Jesus, the one who loves us. You know, there is nothing in this world that, or no other relationship or person in this world that loves us more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ proved his love for you and for me. And how is it that we, as God's people, would say, oh, I'm not going to forsake this for you, Lord, or I'm not going to do this for you, Lord, but I love you. Christ demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God proved his love for us. How do we, as God's people, prove our love to God? There are many things in the scriptures that we can start at, but we're not going to go there. But one thing is keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. This young man went, followed his heart. He followed his heart. He followed his love for money, his dreams, his ambitions, his desires. He followed that. And what he rejected was the invitation of the one that would never let him down, the one that loved him. Don't focus on the one, what you're giving up. Focus on the one that you are following, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't focus on what you're forsaking. You know, here we see in this young man, he came with a question about eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And what it is this. He came desiring that he would have salvation and eternal life. And some of you come and we say, God, how will I have eternal life? What must I do to be saved? And what it is this. When Jesus Christ presses his finger on the sin that he desires for you to give up within your life, you say, no, I'm not going to deal with that. And what you're doing is that you're rejecting the invitation of salvation when it comes to Christ. You know, Christ loved this young man enough to deal with the issue, and the issue in his life was sin. It's like the John chapter 4. Go with me, please, there. John chapter 4. And a familiar passage in John chapter 4 verse 16. In John chapter 4 we see the woman at the well and Christ offering her eternal living water. And in verse number 16, this is what Jesus says to her. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And we see in verse number 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And if you go with me to verse number 28, this is the testimony of the woman. In verse number 28, the woman then left her water pots and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What we see is this lady in this well, that Jesus Christ gave her an invitation to accept this living water. And what happened was that when Christ was dealing with her, he had to deal with her sin, the issue of sin. And what he said is he knew that one thing that she would be dealing with, if she didn't deal with it, she would not accept his invitation of salvation. And there's always in our hearts this one sin, especially if we as unsaved people, there's one thing that we're not willing to let go. And it's just this one thing that we're not willing to let go. It becomes the God in our life. And what happens is that we reject the invitation of Jesus Christ, of following Jesus Christ, the one who loved us because we love that sin or that relationship or that job or whatever it is more than Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ loves us enough to deal with our sin. You know, at Northern Baptist Church, we've been dealing with lots of people, and what it is that we see in the churches, especially around there, they don't deal with the sin issue. You know, they're more happy to feed the people. They're more happy to have dinners every night and feed them, and they're happy to have all these different fancy things. But what it is, when it comes to the gospel and preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ, they lack in this area of sin. But Jesus Christ came to die for our sins according to the scriptures. And now he was buried and he rose again the third day. And this is what we're dealing with. We had a lady call me and she said to me, "Pastor, I'm not coming back to church." And I'm like, okay, what's the problem? And the problem was that we deal too much with sin. And I said, thank God that God is actually trying to work within your heart. You know, God is working within your heart and you have some issues which you need to deal with and he wants to set you free from this and you don't realize that you're in bondage to this sin in your life. And Christ is trying to work, set you free out of this bondage. And what it is, brethren, it's not that we preach sin every week. No, on the pulpit we don't. And we're not very negative, we're not. But when God is speaking to you about something specific within your heart, you need to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, what you're saying is, "Lord, I'm not willing to forsake all and follow you. I'm not willing to forsake all and follow you." Jesus loved him. Loved him. Jesus loved him enough to deal with the issue. And he said, "This is what's separating you, young man, from me. Your love for money, your love for your riches, your love for your position, maybe your power, your covetousness within your heart, your self-righteous also, and you need to deal with this issue so you can follow me." And this is how much Christ loves us. Christ loves us that much that he's willing to deal with our sin. And you know what he did? He dealt with our sin on the cross of Calvary. He did. Mark chapter 10, please. Go with me back there. The focus needs to be on the one we are following, not on what we are forsaking. And the first point we saw today is that the one that we are following, Jesus Christ, loved him. He looked at this man and he loved him. But second thing I want to look at is that Jesus Christ led by example. You know what happens? Christ does not ask us to do something or go somewhere where he has not already been. Christ has been there before us. And in his suffering, he was there. In our suffering, he was there. Nobody here has suffered as much as the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered on that cross. And what it is that Christ, when he asks us to do something, he has already been there. And here we see in Mark chapter 10, in verse number 21, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." You know the greatest thing here that I see when Christ was inviting this man? He says, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." You know when it means that we take up our cross, what it means is that we're willing to die to ourselves And what we're doing is when we're following Christ, we're dead to self and our own ambitions, our own dreams, and we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is not a hard thing for Christ to ask us. For you as a Christian here, look up here please. I want to see your eyes. For you as a Christian, for Christ to ask us to take up our cross and follow Him, it's not a hard request. It's not even a really bad request, because what it is that the one who is telling us to take up our cross has already taken up His cross. And think about what Jesus Christ had already forsaken for us. In His person as being the eternal Son of God, in His position as being all-powerful, as being the one who created all things, and in His power when He could said, but at that moment when He was at the cross, I'm going to come down and prove that I am the eternal Son of God. You know, Christ, what He did for us is He died to everything that He was. And His motivation was love. That's what it was. And it was not anything but to please Himself or anything, but because of His love for His creation. The love for His creation. Who are His creation? We are His created beings, are we not? The love of His creation, He was willing to forsake all. And what He does is He invites us, you forsake all and follow Me. Is it a hard thing for Christ to ask us these things? You know, Christ says that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into His harvest. And it is my prayer that God will call many laborers into the harvest. But if you're not willing to forsake all and follow Jesus, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you cannot be a laborer for Him. And God is trying to work within our hearts as His people, and He's trying to wake up some of God's people and say, I need you to be out there, and I need you to be there in my harvest field where there is people that need to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not willing to forsake all and follow Me. You're not willing to take up your cross and follow Me. Focus on who we are following. The one who gave up all. Everything. There was not one thing that Christ did not withhold. You know, think about just the way that God, the eternal Son of God, the one who created us, came down to earth to go to a cross. The Bible says that He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant. Became in the likeness of man. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility. This is when God, who can even fathom that truth, when God would come down and become one of His creation, so to speak, one of the human beings, and He would not even just become that, but He would go and He would experience death. And with that death, with His blood that was shed, He would provide forgiveness for the sins of all mankind, for those ones who repent of their sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Jesus Christ did not forsake all, brethren. And so when He says to this young man, you know, you need to deal with your sin, you need to deal with your love of money, and what you need to do is you need to take up your cross to die to yourself and die to all your dreams and ambitions and come and follow Me, it was not a hard thing that Christ asked. Jesus, You are the treasure of my heart. What have you forsaken for Christ lately? Jesus, You are the treasure of my heart. Luke chapter 14, please. You know, in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 14, the focus needs to be on the one we are following, not on what we are forsaking. And in Luke chapter 14, verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. You know, great multitudes, you know, Jesus Christ, his fame spread. And there were many people that followed him. And Christ turns around to these multitudes, and he says this in verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And hate does not mean that I'm going to dislike them and, you know, it's a sin to hate. But what Christ is saying is if you don't love them less, or it looks like you hate them compared to the amount that you love me, if you don't do that, you are not willing to be my disciple. And what Christ was teaching is that any relationship, Christ should have the preeminence. Christ should be the first within our lives. And as we follow him, that's where he should be first, compared to everyone else. Compared to my wife, compared to my son, compared to my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, compared to all of them. In verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Dying to self. All those relationships, but also dying to yourself, living that crucified life. Verse 28, please. And Christ was telling the multitudes to count the cost. In verse number 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, or that, behold, it begin to mock him, saying, this man begun to build and was not able to finish. And he gives another example in verse number 31, of what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And in verse number 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know, this is a hard thing. When Christ is saying this is a hard thing. Forsaking all, but where is your focus? The whole issue lies on your focus. You know, when Christ says for us to come and follow him, it's not we're not focusing on what we're willing to give up or forsake, but what we're focusing on is on Christ. And the truth be known is if we as God's people just go back to the basics and focus on Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us, most of us will wake up and say, wow, I am not living for Christ as I ought to live. I'm not doing what Christ wants me to do. I'm so focused on my job, or I'm so focused on my relationship, I'm so focused on just my career or my education, I'm focused on all these things. And listen, all these things are not bad. And what it is Christ is not saying for you to give up your job and go and follow him, or give up that relationship and go and follow him. No, sometimes, you know, God is not saying that. But what God is saying is that, where is your focus here? Is your time consumed, your energy consumed, everything consumed on this job or on this study or on this career, that it's just lacking? The area of me is lacking. That it's hindering you from really following me. You know, Christ, God wants to do a working within our lives. God wants to use us for his glory. And I'm not saying that all of you need to be out on the mission field. No, because if you're all out on the mission field, there'll be nobody here to support the missionaries or pray for them. And you know what? It's a blessing. And I praise God for Metropolitan Baptist Church, this ministry here, because the mission's mind, and just we know that you are praying for us. And we praise God for your support. And what it is, it's not saying that you all need to go on the mission field, but what it is to find your place. Focus on Christ. Say to the Lord, Lord, I surrender all to you. What will you have me to do? And for some, it's just to stay here and be faithful. And it's not just. You know, it's a crucial part.
For people to stay in church and just be faithful and serve and pray and give and all of these different things is such a crucial part. But for some, Lord, I know you want me to be out there. I know you want me to go and be a missionary or just wherever. And so where is it that God wants you to be? And it's not complicated. But if we as God's people have not forsaken all to follow Him and followed Him, when God tries to get a hold of our hearts and tries to direct us a certain way and say, I need you to be there or I need you to be here and all of the where He's trying to direct us, we cannot hear the voice of God. God is not able to lead us. And so what is it in your life, what is it in my life that is actually hindering God from me hearing God? What is it hindering me that I have not forsaken all and followed Him? What is it? And only you and God know what it is. Some of you here need to forsake all and follow Him when it comes to salvation. Like this rich young ruler, Christ was giving him the invitation to come and have eternal life. And what it was God was dealing with that sin. That man was not willing to repent of his sin and place his faith in the one that was inviting him to come. But for some, when Christ is saying, follow me, you're willing to forsake. You're not willing to forsake all and follow him. In Mark chapter 10, back in our text, please. In Mark chapter 10, in context, we see that this young man came to Christ and what we already read, and then he went away sorrowing because he had great possessions. And in verse number 23, and Jesus looked around about and said unto him, disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And Christ was not saying that, oh, you know, if you're rich, you cannot get saved. No. Because he goes on and he says, in verse number 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So Christ, all things are possible. God can save any sinner if they're willing to come, repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ. And look what Peter asked in verse number 28. This is the same Peter that was on the boat when Christ said, follow me, and he forsook all and followed him. This is what Peter said in verse number 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or mother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the Gospels. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in this world to come, eternal life. And you know what it is? Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I have forsaken all and followed thee. You know what a blessing that is? And Christ says, you know what he says? He actually makes a promise that he will receive the blessings with persecutions, praise God for that, and in this world to come, eternal life. And what it is that God, when we follow Jesus Christ, we will never ever regret the decision that we've made. We will never. And so we need to get it out of our heads that what we're forsaking, we're giving up so much to follow Christ. What we give up, the blessing far outweighs what we're giving up. And we need to understand that. And children and young people, if you think, oh, it's so dull to serve God, and you know, it's just I'm gonna give up everything and follow Jesus. What kind of life is that? It's the best life and the best decision that you ever make. Because in Christ is everything that we need. In Christ is everything that we need. You know what it is? It's a privilege that Christ would even make that invitation to us to follow me. It's a privilege. But we have deceived ourselves in thinking that there are other things in this world. That relationship is far better. That job is far better. That the studies are far better. All of these things are far better than following Christ. I love how Peter, and you can follow the lives of these ones that forsook all and followed Christ. You know, we see John and Matthew and James and Peter. You see their lives, follow it in the scriptures. They had a blessed life. You know, they were willing to suffer persecution for Christ, and they were willing to just deal with all of these persecutions and sufferings, but in their hearts they experienced the joy and the peace and the satisfaction that was to come with actually serving the Messiah, the Christ. You know, you see them, and they had these ups and downs within their lives. We see Peter's life, even denying Christ, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was the same Peter that left all and followed Jesus. It was the same Peter that denied Christ. It was the same Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls came to Christ. Same Peter. And yes, there'll be ups and downs, but make that commitment first and foremost, brethren. Follow Jesus. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm willing to just forsake all and follow you, and I don't know what that means. And do you know what? Let God deal with that. You know, we count our blessings. You know, it's such a blessing. Sometimes you think, like, I can deal with issues, and I'll speak to a man in church. It's such an encouragement to me. And what he says is, you know, God can do things far better than what we can ever imagine. And we sit there after soul winning most weeks, and we just count our blessings and say, what has God done in our lives? And what it is that God, the way He works things out, wow, it's just amazing. And we look back and we say, wow, look at God's hand in this, look at God's hand in that. And He did a far better job than we could ever do. But what it does, it takes first and foremost for us to forsake all and follow Him. And the question lies, the question is, would you follow Him? If Christ has given you the invitation, follow me, would you follow Him? And what is it that you need to forsake? What is it that you need to forsake to follow Christ? And it is an absolute blessing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on the one you are following. The one that we are following, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that loved us and the one that led by example. Because He went before us. He's gone before us. He's experienced all of that. And I just want to close with Hebrews, please. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and who you are, the one you are following there in Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14, we'll read from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is a verse that says that, you know, whatever trials we're going through, whatever testings we're going through, you know, Christ has already experienced that. And what it is that we have a great high priest in Christ that has experienced what we will experience and will never ever allow us to go through or lead us in a way where He is not gone already. And so He leads by example. And when He says to us to take up our cross and follow Him, He has already taken up His cross to Calvary. And He was hanging on that cross, crucified, died, was buried and rose again the third day, leading by example. So don't focus on what you're forsaking. Focus on who it is you're following. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who you're following. The one that loved us and proved his love by giving his life for us. And the one that leads by example. The one that will never lead us where he has already gone. And we serve a wonderful King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you, the thing is, would you follow him today? Would you be willing to forsake all and follow him? Let's pray.